the blessedness, the joy, the spiritual growth, the victory as a family never starts until we get beyond what we can afford. Never. If you only give what you can afford to give, you'll never see God's ministries growing and developing and doing what they ought to do. You'll never be able to see progress in your own spiritual life. You'll never see the work getting done. Missionaries will always go begging. The work will never, the churches will never get built. The ministries will never get taken care of. The benevolent works that we have in our churches will never be done. Look, folks, if you only do what you can afford, you say, well, what am I supposed to do, preacher? How can I give something I don't have? There's your problem right there. You're not giving it. You're the channel. God has all of it. God's going to send it through you in order to get the work done. If we give what we can afford to give, we're never going to be able to afford anything that God wants us to do. We've got to learn to give from God's actual wealth instead of from our apparent wealth. If you say, well, I got $50 in my pocket. Tithe on that's five. Boy, we'll never get the job done like that. But, Lord, that's all I can afford. If you'll give me more, I'll give it. You see? No, we're not going to get enough to give that way. We've got to have the attitudes in our heart that says, Lord, this is your ministry. This is what you want done. This is your missionary. This is your calling. Therefore, you've got to finance it. Now, Lord, I'll keep my hands off what you send through me. Enable me to help this thing. Here's a family that's got a tremendous need. And you say, oh, God, look at their need. Oh, Lord, help them. Feed them. Take care of them. Lord, they need a car. They need some clothes. They need medicine for the kids to pay their school bill. Oh, Lord, you've broken my heart about it. Lord, use me to help them. God will use you if you'll make a commitment to God that you'll keep your hands off what He sends through you. You see? But that's what we don't want to do. We don't want to keep our hands off what He sends through us. And so, we don't get the blessing. 1 Chronicles 29:14. But who am I? What is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. Friend, you take a good close look at your giving record this year, which is a necessary thing for you to keep in order to be able to get your taxes together. And if you get the attitude that you've really done something for God, your heart is completely wrong. You know, take a look at it. I mean, now you know what you've given basically this year to the Lord. Are you satisfied with that? Would it be a better blessing for you if you'd been able to look at that and say, boy, I could have given three times that. You know, well, I would have to. Some of you here, in your hearts, you know that if God gave you $10,000, you'd be glad to give God a couple thousand. You see? It's like the fellow, Lord, I wish you'd give me $500,000 so I could keep about half of it for myself. You see? We don't mind giving God a percentage so long as we get what we want in the process. Suppose, though, that there's a need and you say, all right, Lord, there's a need here for $1,000. You give me $1,000 and give every penny of it right back to you. You see? Once we learn that principle, that's when God really starts to bless. That's how to have victory then in our homes. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Friend, listen. You say, well, preacher, that's not sensible. Maybe it's not. I want us to start doing our giving from a scriptural, spiritual standpoint instead of just from a sensible standpoint. It's not sensible to spend more money than you have. I'm not talking about spending it on yourself. I'm talking about giving money and yourself and your life and your energy to God. You see? Giving of yourself. This sixth principle, I stated a minute ago, is that it's more blessed to give than to receive. Our text this morning stated that. The Lord made that statement. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And it's the truth. In Mark chapter 10, verses 29 and 30, Jesus answered and said, now first what did Peter say? Peter said, Lord, we've left everything and come and serve you. And the Lord said, verily, I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake in the Gospels, but he shall receive an hundredfold. That's a pretty good investment, isn't it? An hundredfold now in this time. Houses, and brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. In other words, God says that there's not anybody who has not given up his material possessions to totally serve God who has not in return received all the material possessions he needed to serve God. Many times over what he gave up. Now you take a look at whatever that thing is that you're holding on to, whether it be some money, whether it be a possession, whether it be an attitude, whether it be a child, whether it be something, and you say, if I give that thing to God, God will give you far and above what you gave up. Why? Because he's blessing that attitude of your heart. When you make up your mind that you're going to use everything that God's given you to help to serve him, he'll enable you to serve him better. The final principle is that God's power is released in hilarious giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. It says, "But I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad and so on." He goes on to teach that thing. Now, when we minister with what we have, God will minister in return to us. He's able to make all grace abound toward us when we give as though it were God who had given through us. When it says God loveth a cheerful giver, that word is the Greek word hilarion. He loves a hilarious giver. When's the last time you did any hilarious giving? When's the last time that it really gave you a joyous blessing to be able to meet somebody else's need? When's the last time? Been a while? You've got something right now that somebody else needs. That need can become your ministry, and God will finance your ministry if you'll get in the ministry, if you'll get in the attitude of service, of giving of yourself to others. Listen, friend, this is the key to it right here. All grace, all gifts abound to you when you see all that you have as gifts to give to other people. Friend, giving is serving. Man was created to serve. If you want to have a family victory, let your family become a giving family. I'm not just talking about money. Your money often indicates your attitude about giving everything else. But when you learn to be a giving person, giving your money, giving your time, giving your talents, giving everything that you have to the Lord on a regular basis, you'll find that God will give you far more than you ever dreamed. If you give love, God will give you love to give. If you give time, you will be amazed at how much time you have to give. If you give money, you'll be amazed at how much money you have to give. But the very minute that you take any commodity for yourself and start keeping it, that's when you've done, when you miss the whole point and you've done wrong. Robert Hastings said, "Money management is not so much a technique as it is an attitude." And when we talk about attitudes, we're dealing with emotions. Thus, money management is basically self-management, or control of one's emotions. Unless one learns to control himself, he is no more likely to control his money than he is to discipline his own habits, his time, or his temper. Undisciplined money usually spells undisciplined persons. The money's just one of the first places that you feel it. But friend, if you're having money problems, you're having spiritual problems. If you're having getting problems, you're having giving problems. It's, I don't know. I know so-and-so, and he's one of the sweetest Christians I know, and he can't make ends meet. Now, who are you going to believe? You're going to believe that person? You're going to believe God? You make your choice. I choose to believe God. I choose to believe that God owns everything. And God told me that if I'll seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, that he'll meet my every need. And there's an awful lot of times when your needs become my needs because I've taken your needs on myself and I've asked God to help me meet your needs. You see what I'm saying? That's called being in the ministry of serving you. Now, let me ask you a question. Families, it's decision time. It's decision time. I believe God wants this church, these families, you people, us, all of us, to learn these principles and to make up our minds that we as families are going to do them. If you'll make a decision today, I guarantee it'll save you a catastrophe in the next 2 weeks. Let's learn to give when the whole world is blinded by a desire to get. Can't we do that? Let's bow for prayer.